Filmmaker Rebecca McLean has given herself the challenge of trying to capture a day in the life of Uniting Care Ballarat by filming in a variety of sites across the city. And I'm with her in her edit suite in West Melbourne. How's it gone for you, Rebecca?
It's been a challenge, yes, but a good challenge. It's been fantastic, actually. And I've just had a couple of weeks off just to let the material breathe for a little while and sort of get my head around some of the complex issues that are surrounding all of the work of Uniting Care.
Which sites did you visit in Ballarat?
And the first thing I did kicked off with going to all the managers, and then they kind of gave me a rundown of all their activities. And then I slowly just over the month went to all of those different places, like, for example, through housing. I talked to Wendy at housing, and, you know, Reeds is one of her charters. So I went and talked to the people at Reeds. I spoke to the Tracy Bourne, who did a play there. I spoke with Warwick Smith, who manages the place, and clients in there as well. And, so that was an interesting kick-off, I guess, and went to kindergartens, I went to, went into meet clients that have been through emergency housing programs, went to Breezeway, the food program, went to Tabor, the drug and alcohol sort of rehab withdrawal unit, just crossed the gamut. I mean, it's just so many things going on, I don't know how and it's growing too, it seems.
We're headed out to see Belinda. I don't know whether her son will be home. He should be at school. And her daughter-in-law's there at the moment with their new baby, so that should be interesting to see.
How did the clients and the people who use those services respond to you? Because I guess if people are going through a difficult time, they might be very put off by having a television camera thrust in their face, so to speak.
Marie Drennan from Uniting Care spoke to a lot of her clients that are people who have been put into various accommodation. You know, they've assisted with accommodation, and those people, I think, we're happy with the service, and they were happy to support the program, and they can see that it's a way of getting the information out to other families and so on. So they were quite generous, I thought, and were happy to talk with me. So.
And Rebecca, what have you learned about the people who use Uniting Care services?
I guess the thing is, to be going into all these different areas, you see the complexities of the issues. And this is something that came out in the interviews I had with the managers as well, is that people have a variety of issues and they can't all be addressed just with one process. So it's about listening to people's needs and trying to help people on a variety of levels. And every individual has, many things to weigh up in their life, and these people are no different to anyone else. They're just all of the stars aligned in one place to sort of throw them into a position where they would need to go, to somewhere like Uniting Care because they're in a bad spot in their life. But it's, I think there are preconceived ideas about people who use those sort of services as, in society, and that those people aren't trying hard, or they're not doing enough to support themselves. Whereas I think that, judging by the people that I spoke to, they needed the services, and having the services has helped them get back on track, and that's the positive thing about it.
Would you like to bring that out in your documentary that you're making?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd just like to be able to show people's experiences are all different, and you have different ways of keeping on track in life, and some people are fortunate to have strong family support and other people don't have that family support, and somewhere like Uniting Care can become that surrogate family, if you like, to help them do the things that will support them in areas where their family might not be in a position to be able to do that.
I'm Belinda. I live in Ballarat, Delacombe, Ballarat. I was at my sister's. She's in a two-bedroom house herself. Yeah, sitting on the landroom floor and a bit small, a bit squashy, and I went and seen Kerry, and Kerry from the Uniting Care, very great help, Kerry. Yeah, she helped us get this house and helped with a lot of other things, and we know we can have the house for the rest of our lives, don't have to worry about, if something breaks or anything, that they'll come and fix it. And I used to live on the streets when I was younger. There's a lot of people living in cars and tents that really need a house, and hopefully they all get a house soon.
Were you aware of just what went on before you embarked on this project?
Well, I mean, I read the paper and I live in society, so, you know, and I have friends that are all different, you know, come from all different walks of life, people with mental health issues, you know, drug and alcohol issues, all of these things. I don't think there's one person alive who doesn't know anybody that's got an issue. It's because, you know, Uniting Care is like a magnet for these people, because that's where, you know, wherever they go, everybody sort of feels them towards Uniting Care, and that's why Uniting Care has a sort of a consolidated clientele of people that have all these complex issues all in one spot, if you like. Having all those people all at once in one area, I guess, is quite confronting, to see everybody going through those problems in their life, that there's a real empathy. I found there's a real empathy. I think there needs to be more services in society to support these people, people like ourselves that can end up, you know, without a job. You read in the paper every day about a company that's folded and 2,000 people lose their jobs. What do those people do? And now they don't have a job. How are they going to pay their mortgage? How are they going to feed their kids? And that's, you know, that's where they end up with Uniting Care. And I think the government and our society should take a bigger responsibility for supporting people who go through those crises in their life. And we can't just say it's their fault. We've all supported those systems that have allowed those situations to come about.
I'm 44 years old now. I've been involved in Uniting Care for about 4 years. I've come to them when my mother and myself were homeless and having a lot of trouble finding a home, and we're actually living in the car at the time. And, yeah, it's just gone from there, and the guys have done nothing but help me and gone out of their way to help me and being so beautiful. Yeah, and at the moment they're helping me find a full-time house for me and the two children that live with me. My nephew and my niece live with me, as they can't live with their parents anymore.
How many hours of footage have you filmed over the month or so?
Well, I've got Andrew, the editor, he can probably tell you. There's quite a bit. There was 7 key areas, I guess, that I went through, and I probably did, you know, quite a few hours of each. And you keep picking up bits and pieces, I don't know, 10, 12, 14, 15, I don't know.
I understand you want to make a documentary about 15 minutes long,
yeah,
depicting a day in the life of Uniting Care. You mentioned it's good to stand back and let the material breathe for a while, a couple of weeks after you've been in that situation. Why is that important?
Well, I think if you start cutting straight away, you haven't really had time to let the story evolve in your head. You've got to be able to let it sink in and then reflect on the rest of society. I read the paper, listen to the radio, think about the issues, talk to your friends, you know, debate it in your mind and with friends to really nut out what are the key issues and how you're going to tell that in this story. So the angles keep evolving, and then you just sort of massage the whole thing until, and of course working with a great editor like Andrew Brinsmead, that helps. Yeah.
When do you hope to have the documentary ready?
Well, I'm hoping to finish the main cut this week, because that's where the budget ends. And, so there'll be probably a little bit of fiddling and to and fro, but it'll be ready this definitely in the next couple of weeks, and then it'll be screened, I believe, at the end of the year at the Mining Exchange, at the exhibition.